Thank you, Ian, for that warm welcome. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord and with God's people. And this fellowship is a special fellowship for which we thank God for. Shall we just pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you again that we can come to your presence, Lord, and we thank you for your condescension and your presence here. And we just pray that you would open my lips and each one of our ears and our hearts that we might hear what you want to say to us, Lord. For we ask this in your worthy and precious name. Amen. You got your Bibles, you can turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, and verses 33 to 37. That's the book of Samuel, first book of Samuel, chapter 17, verses 33 to 37. And King Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine Goliath to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." And God always adds his blessing. Good word. And there came a lion. Now, lions are not very nice things to come face to face with. And you can get the lion of adversity, or you can get the lion of opportunity. And I'll just tell you the story about a lion. A little lion had just left his pride, and his mother said to him, "My son," she said, "remember," she said, "that you're a lion." She said, "You're the king of the jungle," she said. "Don't let anybody tell you any different," she said. "You keep your head up high," she said, "be lion, there's nobody rules this jungle." So the little lion was very pleased with himself, and he went out and wished his mother a sad goodbye, and he had a little nap, and he woke up, and he went up to a monkey, and he said, "Hey, who's the king of the jungle?" And the monkey, not wishing to be the lion's lunch, he said, "You, my lord, you're the king of the jungle." So he went before them, and he saw a donkey. He said to the donkey, "Hey, you," he said, "with long ears, who's the king of the jungle?" And the ass was the stupid as he looked. He said, "You, my lord," he said, "you're the king of the jungle." So feeling very pleased with himself, he had a little nap, and he woke up, and he saw a great big elephant coming towards him. He rushed up to the elephant and said, "Hey, you there with some funny nose," he said, "who's the king of the jungle?" The elephant had had a hard day, so he looked down at him and he said, "I'll teach this pesky lion a lesson." So he wrapped his trunk around him, picked him up, pulled him in the air a couple of times and flung him against a tree. As the lion felt him bruised and hurt, the elephant looked at him kindly and said, "But who's the king of the jungle, eh?" And the lion looked at the elephant and said, "Just because you don't know the answer, you don't have to be so rough." So in life sometimes we don't know the answer, and we don't have to be so rough. And that's true, because sometimes when we ask a question, like kids ask you a question, and then you don't know the answer sometimes, the children, so you get a bit thick. Don't ask stupid questions, you know, you really don't know the answer. But you wouldn't think a lion would be something that brings you something to be frightened of, see? But God says, "Oh, the lion was a special blessing." But in this case, in David's case, the lion was a blessing. Because David was but a youth, he says, and as he just read in the chapter, when the lion came, he said, he went after the lion, he faced the lion. See, and lions come in life. See, ever thought the lion being a blessing? Sometimes they are. Because the lion, if it comes to you, it forces you to take action. And you can get different lions in your life. You can get the lions of sickness, you can get the lions of trouble, you get lines of marriage trouble, you get lines of work trouble, you get lines of pressure, and get the lines of all sorts of lines come into our life, you see. And sometimes we tend to look the other side. But God says if you face the lion, or David said if you face the lion, then you don't have to worry. See, because lions roar. See, God says Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I can't vouch for this, but a friend who knows a lot about lions said to me that only old toothless lions roar because they can't keep their courage up and they're trying to tell the pride that they're old. So Satan virtually is an old toothless lion. He really can't hurt us. He gives us the impression that he can. So he tells us also to die, puts things in our thoughts and our minds, and all, but he really can't hurt us. He said, if he's a defeated foe, he said, oh, Jesus Christ has defeated him. So if Satan rolls into your life with anything, thoughts sometimes, you can't do this, or why doing that, or go here and do this, don't listen to him. You listen to the Lord, you see. And if we study God's word and listen to God's word, we'll get the answer, you see. And let's look at the boy who tackled the lion. You see, the verse says the Lord was with him. Now that's very good. If you're going to go to somebody, got to make sure that the Lord, tackle somebody, got to make sure that the Lord is with you. I get two witnesses, there's a family that lives opposite my house, and they meet every Saturday there. See, very often they come to my house and they knock on the door. And I always bring my Bible out, or I use their Bible and talk to them, see. And I ask the Lord, mm-hmm. Sometimes I get a bit steamed up, but I say, Lord, please help me not to be steamed up, talk to them with love, see. And I showed them all the verses from the Bible, and then they eventually end up and say, well, I think we don't have to come here, we go somewhere else. And I tell them, read your Bible, see. That's when I point their Bible out to them, see. And face up with them, see, because some people sort of chase them off and I see signs on the door, no hawkers, no Jehovah's Witnesses, see. But God says, you've got to give everybody a reason for the hope that's within us. And we do it with love, see. So when they come, I just talk to them and say, look, thank you, I'm so glad you're sort of witnessing the Lord. I wish I can be like you. I said, go house to house, which is great, but you bring the scripture on the side. And then I take that Bible and read a few verses, John 14. So then there's a verse for Joe, and I said, see, I'm a father. They ask that you believe in Jesus Christ, and they say, yes. And then I say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and are equal to God? Then they say, no. You see, that's the difference. They just read Jehovah. But, so you've got to know the Word of God. And God says, we've got to study the Word of God, not just read it. You see, and you've got to know the Word of God with your heart. Because God's Word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But why doesn't He say, trust the Lord with all your mind? See, there's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. Let me give you an illustration. Years ago, there was a Frenchman called Blondin. And every Sunday afternoon, Blondin in Canada, he put a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls, one of the world's biggest falls. And he'd walk across that rope. And he'd do all sorts of tricks on that rope. He'd stand and he'd change his shoes. And a big crowd used to come and watch him. So Blondin one Sunday afternoon came down to a young chap sitting on the show. And he said to him, he said, do you think I can take a wheelbarrow across this wire? Of course, Mr. Blondin, said, you can do anything. He said, great. He said, hop in the wheelbarrow, and I'll take you across. And the lad said, oh, not me. See, that's the difference head knowledge and heart knowledge. In his head, he believed that Blondin could do it, but in his heart, he didn't trust him. That's what God says, you've got to trust God with our heart, not with our head. Most people generally believe in God, see, but they don't trust God with their heart. That's why the psalmist said, you know, you've got to trust the Lord with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind. The song you sing, it's a song in school for them. They trust the Lord with your heart, your soul, and your mind. He says, not with your head. I said, you've got to trust Him with your heart. Because the Word of God says, now you think it in your heart. So, you see, if you've got, before you do something, you think about it, you see. And you think, oh, not in your head, you think about your heart. You want to help somebody, you think your heart is well, must help that person. But something the head says, you know, don't go near that person, you know, keep away or whatever. But to follow your heart. See, that's what the Lord says, my son, give me your heart. So God wants you to want us to give him our heart. Love him with our heart, you see. And but David, when they came the lion, it doesn't say that I'm sure David must have prayed for strength. So prayer is a good thing. See, the Bible says pray without ceasing. I don't think he would have faced that lion head on. It says he caught him by the deer, it says here it was in verse 35, he said, caught him by his beard. Now, it's quite a brave thing to do. David was a boy, because remember when he went to Saul, Saul took your body, he said, see, in Goliath, it took your body, your young chap. So for a little boy, maybe 14, 15, to run after a lion and catch him by the beard, you see, you can only do that in God's strength. See, humanly possible, if it's all lion, I don't think I need to go anywhere near that, and let alone go and catch him by his mane, see. But David faced his lion head on, and he did that because God was with him, and it says that here in verse 37, Saul said to him, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So if you're going to do a difficult mission, if you're going to counsel somebody, whatever, you've got to pray about it a lot, you've got to go and respect the Lord. You know, it's going, you can get the best counsel in the world, but without the Bible, the best counsel is not the best. This is God's Bible, it's best for counseling, for the proof for everything, the Word of God. It gives us everything that we need to see to help people. The thing is, as I said, when I tell people, you've got to read it and read it again, I said, not just believe it in your head, but believe it in your heart, at least. And this applies to people, it applies when you're sick, it applies in your job, it applies. I remember my son-in-law bringing up one day a few years ago, and he was in shock. He said, "Dad, I'm just being sick." Put off. He said, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I got an email this morning, got a fly up to Sydney." He said, "To meet the managing director flying up from England, which is not unusual." He said, "So I got this lot of payment to Sydney." He said, "And I went there," he said, "I saw a few people in the room." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "We don't know." He said, "It just took 2 minutes." He said, "The safety came out." He said, "Roger, you know, George is here now." He went in there and he said, "Roger, I'm sorry." He said, "The company is, you know, having the problem." He said, here's the package." He said, "You find the phone there." He said, "As of now, your service will be terminated." Good stuff. He was shocked. And he rang me. I said, "Well, I just prayed to him." I said, "Look, he got a wife and 3 children. And he's 50, and now he didn't get a job at 50. So, you know, so when those sort of lines come up, that's the time to trust God. Because it's easy to trust God when things going well. My daughter said to me once, some years ago, she said, before I got sick, she said, "Dad, you had an easy life." She said, "You see, so you're trusting God." I said, "You only seen this part of my life, but you haven't seen the earlier part of my life." I said, "When I had no job for 14 months, you're just trusting God." I said, "I mean, in India, there's no social security. So if you don't have a job, you don't get any money. I'm supporting my mom and dad as well, you know, just living off my savings." And each time God, I said to God, I come down to my last. I had a job as a marine engineer. So I'd always had a job, but I didn't want to go back to sea. You know, I was not happy with my man going back to sea. And so I'd been for umpteen interviews. And everywhere I went, I think the 34th chapter to me, said, "Yeah, you've got good qualifications, get a great job, but I don't have a job for you." And 7 months, you know, no job. And then I said, "Lord, what happened?" And then at the last minute, I got a telegram from a company that I didn't even think had a job for me. I'm a mechanical engineer. And my aunt had a friend, and she said to me, "Would you have you tried Imperial Chemical Industry?" I said, "Why would they take me in there? Chemical company." She said, No. She said, "They take all sorts of people." So I applied to them, you know, and I just about responded, and then I got this telegram that I come up for an interview. And when I went for the interview, the chap was extremely rude to me, wanted to punch him, really. Everything I said, he said, "Rubbish." And then he asked me, "What did you do if this happened?" I said, "I'm rubbish." He said, "What is this?" And I thought, "Oh, well, you know." So I just went out and I just said, "Lord, you know, forgive me." I said, "It's probably wasted my time." They flew me up, you know, like, you know, 1500 miles for the interview, paid for my hotel. I said, "Another waste of time." And then a little while later, the secretary came and said, "Mr. Shaw will see you." That's still going to be right there. He said to me, he said, "You get a house and you get a car and you get this stuff." And I said, "Excuse me." I said, "I'm offering you a job." He said, "Isn't that the general idea? Don't you want a job?" I said, "Yes, thanks." And I was so excited, never asked a salary. When I flew back to my dad said, "Oh, I got a job." He said, "What's the salary?" I said, "Salary? Actually, I don't know it." I said, "No, I got a house, I got a car." I didn't ask what the salary was. I was so happy that I got the job. I said, "It didn't worry." So God sometimes tries you to the limit. Not everybody. You see, he wants to test you. I don't know why they all need testing. Sometimes the Lord, I wish he wouldn't test me that much. You know, he tests you with sickness or he tests you with something else, and you wish that God wouldn't test you. But he knows that, you see. And he always says that he'll test you, not that you be tempted, but the temptation that you can take. And sometimes God deigns to answer you with concrete examples. I mean, when you leave India is a very tough place, everything is badly and everything. And all my friends said to me in Christian, and they said, "Charles, if you want to take your money out of India, you've got to bribe the tax officials. You have to bribe them." They just took upon it as a gift. They said, "Don't look, you have to look upon it as something." They said, "You've got to do it, Charles." And I said, "Lord, I said, I can't do it." I said, "Because what sort of testimony would I have if I bribed an official to take my money out of India?" So it's a big rigmarole. You've got to go to the Reserve Bank every week and detail everything. You've got your stolen assets in the house, you've sold the farm, it's money, mother's got, your father's got everything. So I went, did all these things, and I got everything done, and they gave me the form. And he said to me on the Monday morning, flying or Tuesday morning, 5 o'clock, he said, you come to the Reserve Bank, he said, and I'll give you your transfer assets form. I said, thank you very much. So sir, I said to him, I'm going to the Reserve Bank, I said, I'll be back, you know, probably ask him. I went there, and I said to the chap, I said, yeah, he said, yes, he said, fine, he said, we need $10,000. I said, what? He said, don't you want to leave the country tomorrow? I said, yes. He said, well, fine, $10,000. So I said, Lord, help me. And he's got my bank book, my stole for time, and I said, excuse me. I said, you've got my bank book. I said, I want to get $400 back for today. He said, you've got friends. He said, you want to leave tomorrow, 1:05 o'clock? He said, turn up here, $10,000. I was done. I said, no, what happened? I didn't know what to do. There's no time for a prayer meeting those days, no mobiles, no all these sort of things. So I was in the main city, like Burke Street. So I rushed off to ICI's office to see my friend, my boss, like in Australia, Lloyd Bradshaw. And Lloyd was there, and it's difficult to see if he could have been anywhere in India, but he was there. So I said, I got to see him urgently. He said, it's very urgent. He came out and he said, what's the problem, Charles? I thought you left. I said, no, I'm leaving tomorrow. Then I told him the problem. He said, Charles, you've got to pay the money. He said, forget the Christian principle. He said, so I didn't know what to do. He said, no, he's not a Christian. I mean, he's a Christian, but not a committed Christian. So I said, I haven't got the money, so that's why. He said, I'm going to give you the money. So he took me to somewhere and got $10,000 put in my pocket. And I was very happy. And I went back to this bank and I said, Lord, I really don't want to do this. And I went there, the chap who asked me for the $10,000 wasn't there. And I said, what do I do? Do I put it on the table and then he arrests me for bribery or whatever? What do I do? I said, what do I do? And when I went to ICI, one of the staff, he said, for the trouble, asked for some chap. He said, again, and he's coming out of somebody. He said, so anyway, I went to get this form, and I met the rudest chap that I ever meet. He said to me, where's your, how much money does your dad have? Bring me the dad's bank book, and my father's 1,500 miles away in the United States. And I said, if you ask me all this story, I said, I've been coming to this little bank for 3 months, I said, here's my big file with everything. I said, I can tell you how much money he's got, not much. I said, he got well able, there's no pension, he's retired for 20 years. So he looked to me and I said, what am I supposed to take this money and put on the table? Or what am I supposed to do? See? And just then another fellow walked to the office. And he said hello to him, and then that name that friend of mine told me was this fellow's name, Ramanath something. So I said, hello. So I said, oh, hello, Mr. Ramanath. He said, you know me? I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. So I said, Fali Basani, I sent you to God. He said, who? I said, he doesn't know Fali. I said, oh, Fali. He said, yeah, what's Fali? Come to my office. And I only met Fali that other day. I didn't deal with Fali. Fali, I said, financial sector. I'm an engineer. I don't deal with finance. And I asked him all about Fali. And I said, well, he told him much of it. And he said, what's the problem? So I said to him, why don't you come and see me first? So I said, with due respect, I mean, I've come to serve bank every day for 3 months. I said, he said, well, he said, what you got to do is, he said, you got to leave now without the money. He said, and just take £10. He said, £2. He said, I come with my wife and 2 children to a new country. I don't have anybody here. I come with £10. And I said, Lord, what do I do? Do I trust him? He said, I've got no option. I've got to trust him. Left the fire with him. And I flew over a heavy heart and he booked to stay over in different places. I told him, for goodness sake, don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. My kids are small. I said, don't knock anything doors. I haven't got money to pay for it. So we landed here. And about 2 weeks later, I got a call from the Commonwealth Bank. And he sent my money. Just got hands. He didn't send all of it. Someone still, he never sends all of it. Still got money to do it. But most of them, see. So God is good. You see, God, if you trust him, in adverse circumstances, he helps you. And all these lions come to help you to trust God. And when you get a challenge somewhere else, you're able to trust God further because of your previous experience. You see, so lions really are God's opportunity in disguise. You see, and as David said, that when a lion comes along, you quote God's word and say, the Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion, whatever that lion was, sickness or silence, whatever, is able to deliver you from this lion as well. And the God's word also says that as for God's way is perfect. And sometimes we don't see God's perfect way here. It's a big sea that's not tested. Someone said to me, you're looking at the back of a tapestry, you see. You see all the threads and things hanging, you don't see the full picture. But God is working, each one of us, and God never lies. He never understated or exaggerated. So when God says that's for God, his way is perfect. That means the Lord's leading ritualize is perfect. No matter what way we go through, his way is perfect. You just got to trust him. Make sure that we keep on the way and you don't wander off and take side roads. Help them to do his way quickly. Sometimes we do it, try to help God to do his work. But God doesn't need us to help him to do his work. He says, trust in the Lord with your heart and he will bring it to pass. And he'll also give you the desires of your heart. And it's true. If you look back on your life, as I think he had said, he told him each blessing to come, but he said, let's count your many blessings. There's so many blessings you look back that God has given you. In fact, today I'm standing here. Most of you know, very sick. 9 months ago, I was sitting here, and he said, give me help. He said, Charles. He said, firstly, you should be dead. Secondly, you should be in a wheelchair. He said, no, you walk in your 2 feet, and he gives me help. He said, it's a miracle. He's not a Christian. That's a chance for me to witness. Yes, it is a miracle. Thank God for that. So the Lord is very good. And the psalmist said in Psalm 25, verse 4, show me thy ways. Let's read it in Psalm 25. Yes, Psalm 25, the psalmist says, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And on thee do I wait all day long. Now, I want you to note that word, wait. You know, waiting on God is not an easy thing. You see, when you go to a restaurant, or a good restaurant, the waiter hovers around, you really don't see anybody, hovers around you. He's at the back, as soon as your glass is empty, suddenly you feel silently intoxicated. As soon as you drop some crumbs, he comes and he wipes it up with a little brush. He's hanging around waiting for you, see. And God's like that. I mean, we're supposed to wait on the Lord like that, you see. God's always not, we can't always see him or feel him, but he's there at the back, you see. And Sam said, therefore, indeed, do I wait all the day, he said, you see. And then he says, then God will show you his ways, and then he will teach you his path. And to do that, you've got to read God's word as well, you see. Because this is, I mean, we're very fortunate we can read and write. When David wrote this word, this psalm, probably most people couldn't read or write. So they just had to wait on the Lord. Wait, the psalm has to explain to them. We're a very fortunate generation. We've got the Bible printed in almost every language in the world. So almost every person has a Bible, because the doorman at my son's apartment was an Indian, and I was a witness of the Lord, and he said, can I get a Hindi Bible? I said, Hindi Bible, never really bought a Hindi Bible. Urdu Bible, you wanted, see? So we came back to Kurong and we ordered one and we sent it to him. So, and then I asked my son, has he got it? He said, yeah, he got it. And I said, ask him, okay, if he reads it. And my son does that. He said, yeah, he reads it. And he said, he does. So we just hope he reads it. Because God's word will not return unto you, you see. If you give someone the word of God, it will never return. That's God's promise. As I said earlier, God doesn't exaggerate, he doesn't understand. Whatever God, we do that, we exaggerate, we understand. Sometimes we talk vision, but God never does that. Whatever God says, he's able to perform. So just be encouraged that the Lord will be with you, whatever you're doing, whatever your problem is, the Lord will help you. When the lions come, turn to the Lord, and ask the Lord to bless you. That's what he did. So the Lord be with you. Thank you. All right. Pass it in and end the thing. No? Thank you, Eve.